Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. Yeah, all right. I feel like it's appropriate to play this at least one more time. Yeah. How cool was it that you had the ability to relive Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, where the St. Louis Blues win their very first Stanley Cup? Oh, was that exciting. I didn't know if I'd have an opportunity to play this again, but here we are. How about that? Well, it was fun to relive that. I guess we could have played the Brett Hull version of it. Would it have been better if we played the Brett Hull version of Gloria? Oh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's what we should have done just right off the bat. Producer Cole put this together.
Gloria, Gloria.
Oh, no, this is the wrong one. No, here's the Brett Hull version.
Gloria, Gloria, I think I got your number. Gloria,
I think they got the alias.
Gloria.
It's just too good. So if you are a St. Louis Blues fan, I'm sure you enjoyed the last couple of hours being able to listen back to that without the stress of the uncertainty of what was going to happen during that game, not knowing if the Blues were going to win or not. Wow. All right, we got a lot to get to today on the show, and we keep things open for you, so the phone lines are there. We're kind of like that Motel 6 commercial. We'll leave the phone line open for you. We have that open invite. I don't have to actually send you invitations in the mail like it's a wedding or anything. You're invited to call. Maybe we should do that. It would be a nice marketing ploy. It's 436-7900. That's the number here. You can call or text using that line. Also 800-925-1120. So my kid said something a little bit funny today. He says a lot of funny things. I think my kid is the funniest person in the household. He's hilarious. Well, he said something that made, a little awkward for my wife. Just a little awkward while they were out in public. So kids, man, I'm sure they've gotten you in trouble for the things that they've said unfiltered. I want to talk about that. Are you actually the middle class? When I was growing up, I just assumed my family was middle class. And then they tried to define it. And I thought, oh boy, maybe we're not middle class. You ever have those revelations where you thought you were middle class, but you really weren't? There's a new study out that says the five traits that you're middle class. Next hour, we're going to talk about forgetting and forgetting and forgoing. Forgiving student loan debt. Bernie Sanders has a new plan out there. Elizabeth Warren has a new plan out there. Tis the season to pander. It is the Democrat week for debates, so there's going to be a lot of that going on. Route 66, a very popular staple here. Of course, the show with Johnny Rabbit on Saturday nights. But the road itself has so much history, so much Americana just jammed into that one stretch of road that goes from California all the way to Illinois and right through St. Louis here. Route Magazine editor Brennan Matthews is going to join us and talk about some of those adventures across Route 66. Project Veritas has a new video out. It's about Google, and it's about their practices of manipulating news. Pretty troubling, really. And I'm going to play some clips from that. Believe it or not, stop me if you've heard this one before. But when Google had YouTube, of course, and YouTube is a big platform online where people share videos. Project Veritas shared and uploaded their video onto YouTube. and they talked about the practices that go on at Google. Would you guess that Google took down the video against their practices? You know, this piece of investigative journalism by James O'Keefe and Project Veritas is hosted on the site that does not paint a good picture of Google. So they took the video down on their own platform, even though it didn't really violate any of their standards. It's just because it was not too flattering to their practices. But I had the opportunity to see the video before Google took it down. I saved some of the clips, and I'm going to play some of those for you coming up. And if you didn't already believe that there was a lot of manipulation when it comes to the way these tech companies operate, in particular how Google operates, there's going to be no doubt in your mind after you see some of the examples in some of the interviews that they had with people inside of Google. Rich Rubino is going to join us on the show tonight, too. I'm a fan of Rich Rubino. Every Monday, we talk some politics. And with the Democrats having their debates this week, a lot of pandering going on, I wanted to ask him a few different things. First, what are some of the more memorable debate moments in American politics? And what kind of advice would you give to some of the candidates that are going to be debating this week? So we'll talk to him about that, too. And there's a story that's been shared a lot online out of Phoenix. It's a woman who died, came, you know, was revived. And when she came back, she said she saw heaven. And people have been really sharing this a lot online. And I don't know. I just don't believe people have these visions. And it's not a popular belief because everyone online believes it to be legit. So we'll talk about all of those things coming up on the show. And again, if you want to follow along a couple of different ways on Twitter at Ryan Recker, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. Also, you can call 436-7900 or 800-925-1120 because in the next segment, I want to talk a little bit more about crime. I want to talk about what happened to our hero police officer who was, it's even hard to think about, but the way that this encounter was described today at the press conference, where at the Wellston Market, he was executed for being called out to a fake check trying to be passed at the place. And there's a lot that goes into it. There was a video that was taken down, the Post-Dispatch posted the video, or at least linked to it, and then regretted that and has since apologized. I want to talk about their apology because it's a half apology. And I want to give you the latest on that because the press conference with, I believe it's Sergeant Ron Martin, was talking about the events that led up to the loss of a hero police officer. That's coming up next on Overnight America, KMOX. If you go to KMOX.com, you can see the article now. Police: a good cop was executed by suspect with violent criminal history. It really does bother me when we look at justice reform. There's a couple of different ways you can look at that. You can say, okay, we have laws on the books, and then you have prosecutors or circuit attorneys, whatever it may be, that decides to use their own sort of social justice discretion in order to pick and choose the different offenses they want to try to put in front of a judge or not. And a lot of times you scratch your head and you say, okay, like in the county, it bothers me when you see these stories about attempted carjackings and they'll say, well, maybe we don't want to do that because they didn't actually, you know, they tried to knock an old lady down and maybe you punched her or, you know, maybe you tried to force their way into the car, but, well, they didn't actually have a gun in their hand, so maybe we don't prosecute this person even if the police find them. Or we have these instances where large amounts of drugs are found and they'll just say, well, okay, maybe we don't have to worry about this sort of thing because, hey, we want to try to push the social justice of the drugs or whatever it is. And you have these instances where people, it's not even getting lucky. It's they're riding the wave of these sort of activist prosecutors or activist circuit attorneys. And it's certainly something we see across the United States in some of these metropolitan areas that are predominantly Democrat. Maybe that's not necessarily important for what happened here today, but in St. Louis, we happen to see it here. So it bothers me when you have a suspect with an extreme violent criminal history get all the second chances in the world and all the opportunities in the world to do something like this, execute a good police officer, two kids and a fiance. We find out the suspect's name is Bennett Meeks, 26 years old, charged with the murder of Officer Michael Langsdorf, who responded to the Clay's Wellston Market. That's near Page and Skinker at about 4:30 on Sunday. Someone was reportedly trying to pass a bad check. Major Ron Martin, North County Police Department, reported during a news conference today, which you heard on KMOX, a couple of different things, and it's really heart-wrenching.
Mike was a friend of mine. I've known Mike for 20 years. I appreciate Chief Buchanan and his leadership for this difficult situation we're in. I appreciate Mayor McGee. I appreciate every high-ranking law enforcement official standing behind me, every mayor, everybody that's been a part of this. I appreciate everybody's gratitude.
It's been a very difficult time. Very difficult time. So what they talked about was Meeks and Langsdorff struggled on the floor. Meeks struck the officer's head several times with a gun that he pulled from his waistband. Number one, it was illegal for him to have that gun because of his criminal background. Meeks stood up and fired a shot while Officer Langsdorff was face down on the floor.
Mr. Meeks had the gun in his hand, pointed the gun to the back, pointed the gun to the back of Officer Langsdorff's head, and fired one shot. Mr. Meeks was successful in executing a cop yesterday, and a good one. The shot didn't hit him in his head, it hit him in his neck. His left rear neck is where the bullet entered. It traveled to his spinal cord.
Okay. So this is what we know now about the suspect. 26 years old, Bennett Meeks. We saw him confess. I believe he confessed today. Charged with one count of first-degree murder, one count of armed criminal action, one count of unlawful possession of a firearm, and one count of resisting arrest. No bond was set. We'll see what Wesley Bell and the county decides to do. He was there at the press conference yesterday, at least the quick one they decided to do. There's no indication if they'll seek the death penalty or not. I don't see any redeeming features in this terrible human being. I don't see anything redeeming in him. So I don't see why not. Bennett Meeks came to the St. Louis area. He was from North Carolina, I guess, where he spent some time when he was younger. And stayed there up until earlier this year. In Raleigh, he was convicted 7 times of drug-related crimes. First was in 2009. Most recent was in 2016. They classified him as habitual criminal. Meeks was not allowed to have a firearm, but he did. He had an extensive criminal violent history behind him. Let me put it this way. What we need to do, and the problems that we have here in St. Louis and the county, this is my warning. And by no means do I say this lightly, but this is my absolute warning on something like this. We're going down the path where we have these certain circuit attorneys, prosecutors, all of these people that we want to be super sympathetic to some of these crimes that are going on because we got to give people second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, 20 chances before we take anything seriously, and not even that. We also have a problem where we try to reform things around the criminal. We say, well, you know, maybe the solution to something like this is to not send police to someone trying to pass a faulty check. You know, why put someone in danger to hassle someone over passing a faulty check? So what we're going to do is, in order to try to save people from getting hurt, we're just going to allow, or we're not going to prosecute when it comes to people passing faulty checks because we don't want this situation to have again. Instead of trying to fight the crime and fight the problems that we have, we try to reform things around what the criminals are doing, and that doesn't help our city. It doesn't lower our crime. In fact, it leads to more crime. This is my warning. Don't go down that route, St. Louis. And if there's anyone listening from the prosecutor's office or the circuit attorney's office, any of them, it doesn't have to be with this case individually. Don't cater to these criminals to say, well, for the better good, we're going to allow them to continue to break the law because it's safer for them to break the law than it is. You know what happens over years and decades? We get into the situation we're in right now. When you Google St. Louis and what comes up, we're one of the most dangerous cities in the country. This is what happens over years of control, allowing things like that to happen. You got to fight back on stuff like this. You got to make sure we take a stand and say this is something we're not going to allow. And I say this as a warning because we're already so far down that road. I just don't want to go any further down the road. So you got to set an example and say enough's enough. And eventually that's got to happen. This is so terribly frustrating. And I'm sure the family of this hero, they have no obligation to show any mercy to this person. I don't know what they're, please, no one deserves what happened here. No one deserves to show this animal any mercy for what they did. So when it comes to trying to prosecute, when it comes to turning the other cheek on certain crimes, you owe it better to the victims. You owe it to the victims. You owe the people that are being victimized. You owe it to the people of this city to not take these things lightly. It's something we got to turn around. Let me mention this too. I wanted to call out the Post-Dispatch because they did something that I thought was a little weaselly. So it's worth mentioning here. So a couple of different reports have come out. And yesterday, if you remember, we talked about how there was a video that came out. Someone that was working at the Wellston Market regrets live streaming after the officer was shot. And there was someone that worked there. Her name is Kashina Harper, works at the market where the confrontation occurred. And her first instinct was, okay, we're going to call for help, but I got a cell phone. I'm going to start live streaming this so we can document what's going on, or I want to share this with... So I listened to the audio of this. I didn't watch the video, but I listened to the audio. She was very much frantically pleading, please, please get here quick. Get the medics here. Get them here. All right. There was nothing that I thought she did where she made it sound like she was sympathetic to the shooter, this murderer. I didn't get that vibe. But what the vibe I got, and this is probably taking the optimistic route, was our first instinct anymore when anything happens is to pull out our cell phone and hit the record or whatever it is. It's not the right instinct to have. Well, she regrets doing it. She has later come out and said, I regret taking the video. She said that Harper says she's been receiving threats because of the video. She since deleted it from Facebook. She said she used bad news judgment, apologized. Oh, no, that wasn't who said that. It was the Post-Dispatch. Post-Dispatch took the video from this person, the live stream video, and linked it in their article, at least temporarily, and has since taken it down. They had to put out a letter from the editor, and this is what the letter of the editor said. From the editor's desk, an apology to our readers. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch made a serious error in judgment Sunday in its online coverage of the fatal shooting of North County Police Cooperative Officer Michael Langsdorff. Says the newspaper apologizes to Langsdorff family, members of law enforcement, and our readers for making a major mistake in covering the tragedy. So then they talk about the graphic shooting aftermath on the Facebook Live video. And they talked about how they linked to it inside of their news article. It was a terrible lapse in judgment. There's a few things I can guess happened. It's a Sunday. They probably don't have their A team or B team or even their C team. And that's unfortunate. A lot of times you find that news organizations and newspapers, they want to have people staffed on the weekend, but they don't normally put the people in there that have had some experience under the belt. They put the inexperienced people, the ones that, well, maybe don't realize that's a poor judgment being operated through their newspaper. So eventually they took it down. And this is where I wanted to call shame on the Post-Dispatch. Let me read you their latest article here. It says, clerk in Wellston who aired live Facebook video of dying officer says she regrets it, : newspaper apologizes for link. So they do the story about how the clerk that aired this online has apologized, But then they say newspaper. They don't say Post-Dispatch. They don't say anything that would indicate it was them that posted it. They just say newspaper apologizes for link. That's a pretty weaselly way of saying, you know, walking with the tail between your legs. You know you made a mistake. You know you had to apologize, but you don't want to own up to your mistake. I get it. I get it. I see. That's a little weaselly. I wanted to call him out for that. And yes, people notice these things. All right. I just wanted to start the show talking about that. I had a lot on my mind when it came to it, and I thought it was appropriate to open the show that way. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. We had Michael on the line. It looks like he dropped off, but I wish I could have got his comment. Yeah, you do have that invitation to call. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. I felt like I went off on a pretty big rant there, but it was on, you know, it was on my mind. And, you know, when you have a radio program, that's the type of opportunities you get to air the things on your mind. All right, well, there's a few other things I wanted to get to. Kids really do say some crazy things every once in a while that can get you into trouble. Have you ever had a kid say something that, not putting you in a hot water, but may have put you in an awkward position? What did your kid say that put you in that weird spot? 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Let me tell you about what happened with my kid. And I'm hearing it secondhand because my wife told me about it, but I do think it's pretty funny how this rolled out. So they have been going to swim lessons. He's 4 years old, and we have a pool, but while he swims at home, it's different than getting guided lessons to learn how to professional, I don't say professionally, but you know how to get the right techniques to swim. So we signed him up for swim lessons. And of course, the experience he had swimming in our own pool was enough to give him a heads and shoulders type of advantage to some of these other kids who didn't really have any experience inside of a pool. So he gets to the pool and he's swimming and doing all these things and he's taking the lessons and things are going really well. And he's doing great. They say, okay, we think he can advance to the next stage. All right, very good. For a four-year-old, I'm pretty proud of him. He's doing a great job swimming, and he loves it. And on a side note, it exhausts him, so he always goes to bed early those nights, which is pretty awesome. Yeah, he always gets a little sleepy early. You know, that's always nice when you get the young one wanting to go to bed on his own. Whoa, isn't that a beautiful night? So they've been going, and my wife takes him to the lessons, to the pool, and there's some other parents that bring their kids, and there's one grandmother that takes her grandchild there. She's a little bit older than my son. I think the grandkid's like 6, my son's 4. And they've been doing the swim lessons, and my wife noticed a few things, like the one grandma wasn't really, you know, she wasn't really socializing with the other parents. You know, the other parents would normally talk while they're watching their kids do the swim lessons. She was one that was more like wanting to give these snide comments. And she, like, imagine this. You're outside at the pool, and there's only a certain amount of chairs that have umbrellas. So when it's really hot and sunny, everyone wants to get under the umbrella. She's the type of person that if there's 2 seats under an umbrella and there's limited seating, she's the one that would put all of her stuff on one chair and then sit on the other chair next to it, blocking anyone from sitting by her. Because, you know, her beach bag is more important than someone else sitting under the shade. So this happens at the start of the swim lesson. My wife was telling me how she's pretty mean. She says these like little, you know, under her breath comments. She gives dirty looks to these other moms. Like, for example, my son during the swim lessons would wear the goggles because, you know, it's just easier for him to swim with the goggles on. She'd make these little comments like, at least my kid doesn't have to wear goggles. You know, like little stuff that if I was there, I would definitely make fun of this woman. And my wife would say, stop embarrassing me. But you know, I would have said something about it. Well, this goes on and she says all of these different things. Today at the swim lesson, you know what happens with my wife? They're leaving. And, you know, she's packing up her things or whatever it is, you know, and they're talking about it and all that. And my son says, is that the mean old lady? And points to her. Is that the mean old lady? My wife immediately thought, she was like, oh no. And of course the lady heard it and looked and gave another mean look. But at that point, what's another mean look on top of another mean look? Kids say some pretty funny things. I wish sometimes adults can be that straightforward, but you know what? The ones that are don't make a lot of friends. Kids can say some pretty crazy things. All right. Has your kid ever got you in trouble? Have they ever put you in a tough spot? Have they ever got you in trouble with someone else for, you know, telling the truth, for example? You know, little secrets that you have inside the house and then they later go and tell someone else and you thought, oh, that was just for us. You're not allowed to tell other people because then it makes you look bad. Like, oh, you can't tell other people we give you a little bit of candy here and there when all the other parents are like, no candy. And then we sneak you some. You know, that's the secrets of the family. You got to keep those. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Kids do say some pretty crazy things. Before we do that, let me go to Dan in St. Anne. Hi, Dan. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot to. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I was listening to your other stuff you were talking about. Right. And, you know, everybody goes to, well, not everybody, but people go to Schnucks or whatever and try to cash a check. They don't realize they don't have enough in there. And it says insufficient funds and you just walk away. So I just don't understand what, I mean, obviously his check wasn't going to, and they don't call the cops at Schnucks. So I don't understand. Obviously, his check wasn't going to work. So what happened after that? Something else must have happened. Maybe he just didn't walk away. Or
well, he was trying to steal. I think the check was for $6,000. So he wasn't going in there to buy, you know, some Hot Pockets and things like at this little corner market, right?
Oh, okay.
$6,000. He was trying to force them to give him money. Obviously, the check would have bounced, and that store would have been out of the $6,000. They said no.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that part. See, yeah. Nobody tells the public about that part.
Yeah, and the part of this, too, is all they did was call the police. They're saying, hey, someone tried to cash a fraudulent check with us. They knew immediately that it was a scam. And they weren't going to fall for it. So the police show up just to, you know, hey, who's the, you know, let's figure this out. Yeah. And then that's when the person attacked the police officer.
Well, see, they didn't, and nobody on the news said anything about that part. So, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
I got you covered. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Bye.
Yeah. This wasn't a case of oopsie. Oh man, I got to transfer some money over. Or, you know, you go to the grocery store and it's $120 because you're buying for the family. And at the end, you forget that, oh, that's right. I don't have enough in the debit account because I forgot I paid for this. And oh, that's embarrassing. And it wasn't one of those situations. $6,000. This is how those foreign scammers, you know, you get those overseas scammers that try to convince you, oh, we got an offer for you, but, you know, we'll send you this check. You can cash it, and then you give us some of the money that you just cashed, and you can keep the rest. Like they're trying to pull a fast one on the government or whatever it is. So they send you a check. It normally clears at first, and then they expect you to pay immediately. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, your bank contacts you and says, this was a funny check. And then they take the money out of your account. They say, nope, you don't get to keep any of this. And now you're out the money you gave to the scammer. This is one of those very commonly used scams. So, yeah, when you cash that sort of thing and you spend $6,000, you're out of pocket, man. Just like an individual would do it if someone messaged them magically online to try to give them free money if they just cash this check for them or whatever the scam may be. And this corner store has probably seen it all. If you're someone that works behind a counter at any place like this, I'm sure this has happened over and over and over again where someone tries to pull a fast one on you. But $6,000, that raises a red flag. You know, you just don't go into a corner store and say, oh, here's a check for $6,000. Give me some money, please. No. And here's the sad thing. Imagine if, and just say hypothetically, because I don't know what the intentions were. Imagine if they didn't call the police and this person was disgruntled hanging around with a weapon in his waistband. What could have happened then? You know, think about that. This is a dangerous individual. All right. Also coming up, I wanted to talk about the signs that you're middle class, and I'm going to go through some of those traits. Was there a time where you woke up and said, wait a minute, maybe I'm not middle class. When I grew up, I thought I was middle class until I looked at some of these signs and I later realized, well, you mean not every family uses bread, rolled up for a hot dog bun? Are you saying not every family does things like that? This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Miss any part of Ryan Recker on Overnight America?
What if I missed something important?
Download the podcast anytime at KMOX.com/ONA.
You know what I heard today? Down the hall, our sister station has the Dave Glover show. He was bragging because he said, oh, we have the most downloads in the company. I thought, okay, challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. Should make Overnight America the most downloaded show in the company. That's what we should do, at least in our building here in St. Louis. All right. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Dan, who's calling in from South St. Louis. Hi, Dan.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I am calling. Hey, was the officer shot inside the store?
I think so, yeah, because that's where I didn't see the video, so I think the location was inside the floor. Yeah, inside the store.
I was wondering if the owner or someone, a patron, might have been able to distract him or shoot him if they had one of their gun inside the building there, with that being the type of neighborhood that it was in and everything. And I was wondering if he might have been able to take a shot and try to distract the guy.
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, I did remember reading that everything was caught under surveillance camera, which to me would indicate is inside the store. And when I was listening to the audio, it made me wonder the same thing. So when the police show up, I'm sure the clerks don't necessarily want to have a weapon in their hand. And I'm sure all of this happens so quickly that it's very difficult to respond unless you're trained.
Yeah. It's just devastating. And you know what? And thank God that we have these services out there that take care of these children, these wives, and that stuff with the stoppers out there.
Oh, yeah. They're great, wonderful organizations that step up when a police officer dies.
And that family will be taken care of very well. So,
yeah. All right.
But thanks for taking my call, and have a good night.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, God bless those organizations and everything the family's going through. Man, they need all the prayers you can give up to him. John calling in. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, Jory show. Oh, yeah, I hope you do get the more downloads than that other guy you're talking about. Hey, listen, I thought they passed Prop P and counties. You're supposed to have two police officers in every car. I don't know about the North Cooperative. But I thought usually when you go in a situation and you know the area is bad, shouldn't they have a second police officer just in case come in? So that way is a backup instead of just one cop going in there and not knowing who or what's in there, or what they have in their, waistband, or whatever they're carrying. And our thing is, like you said, this town is past the point of even addressing these issues. Because I know a lot of people, regardless of, sports towns or whatever, winning cups, a lot of people avoid coming to St. Louis from I talk to because they just don't want to come here and get carjacked or killed. And, it just, unfortunately, that makes the news more so than, all these parades or parading, someone winning a cup and millions of fans going downtown. But, you just see the crime every day and just keep getting worse. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, John. Yeah, let's go back to Prop P and talk about everything that money was promised to take care of. In fact, we did a really good segment on that, which you can go back and listen to. I don't remember the date, but you can search on KMOX.com/ONA. We went to the website for Prop P, which at the time was still active, and you can go and look at all of their promises. If you pass Prop P, here's all the things that were going to happen. So what happens after it passes? With the guys that it was going to be spent on police officers and, upgrading body cameras and, getting more people in the cars and upgrading this and doing that, we find out instead they want to spend it on administrative. They want to spend it on people working the roads, as in, they got some road work to do, so we're going to spend some more money this way. They want to, if you're answering phones and you're a receptionist and not a police officer, they want it to go to this. They want to spend money upgrading this when it comes to the computer. It wasn't all the things that they wanted to spend the money on was going against the things that they promised. And it was just another big problem that they had in the county, which they're still debating. I don't even think they've resolved that yet. Honestly, there was a debate on that maybe about a month ago, and I don't even think that's been resolved. What a shame. I mean, you were lied to by the people that put that in front of you. If their intention was to do the bait and switch, which is, oh, we can make it all about cops, but the real intention was this, that's lousy. All right, very special guest on the phone line right now. I love this. Kevin Killeen calling in. Kevin, how are you?
Good, Ryan. How are you? I'm enjoying your show. Listen, I was just calling because you were telling the story about when kids say things, children say things that are overly honest, that every adult wishes they could say. Like when your son Emmett said at the swim meet, is that the lady who's mean and bad? Or
is that the mean old lady? Yes, it is.
Well, we had a similar situation back when our children were young, and in the wintertime when the stomach flu would sweep through the family like a pestilence, and you know, you'd dread those midnight calls down the hallway, mom, dad, and then you have to clean up and their bed looks like a Jackson Pollock painting, and
oh, no.
You got to change the sheets, and it's really bad if you're like Beef Stroganoff.
Ugh.
But we came up with a system where we would teach them capitalism with the stomach flu, that for every time they would make it to the bathroom or to throw up in the bucket successfully, we would give them a dollar for each episode.
Mm-hmm.
And this could run in just some money if it was a real virulent strain, but it worked. And it backfired though, because of something my son said in public. My wife was in the checkout line at Schnucks, and you know, money was a little tight, and she's, you know, looking over everything, and the cashier's adding it up. And my son turns and sees all the gum gleaming there. He says, "Mom, can I have some Juicy Fruit?" And she says, "No," you know, I'm whispering, "not right now. Money's a little tight." There's all these people listening to this drama.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Well, what about my diarrhea money?" We had to change Schnucks.
I know.
That.
Oh, that's hilarious. Kevin, we got to go. Thank you for that story. It's Overnight America. Yeah. What about my diarrhea money?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.